is good. Be back home. It's a good day to be this morning. Father, it's good to be with God's people anywhere, especially the day that the family is not here. And we just came to your life today and are happy to be back in person this morning. I see that a good number of people got some form of a tablet. Standing before two paths and having to make
He said that one path was wide. It was well kept. It was straight. It takes little effort to follow that path. It is a well-worn path. It has many footprints of people that have traveled down it. And Jesus said there is another path, though, as well in this life. The other path is hard. It is crooked. It is steep. It will require effort on our part to adequately navigate it to the end. It is a path that is sometimes hard to see because not many people travel this path. There will be times when we'll have to look really hard to see exactly where that path is, that we might be able to stay on it. And those are the choices. Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 7 as well that the well-traveled path led to destruction, and that the path less traveled led to eternal life. He said of the wide road, many there be that will find it. He said of the narrow road, few there be that will find it and travel it. Like the Marine Corps, God is looking for a few good people, isn't He? Those people that are special. Those few, those proud, those that are redeemed. And they will take the difficult path. They are special people with courage. People with inner strength that has been cultivated through hard work and through hard choices. Folks, life is filled with those, and they build the character of an individual. These paths are before us at every decision we make in this life, and we either take the easy, lazy, and cowardly path that most people choose to take, or we take the tough path. That is right. The path only a small number of people are willing to take. Too many people say they can't help what they do, but really it is that they are unwilling to take the hard path, to make the tough choices that God requires for us to make. Right and wrong is not a matter of what I can or cannot do. Right or wrong is a matter of what I choose to do in this life. It has to be that. Otherwise, God cannot stand in judgment in regards to what we've done. We choose right and we choose wrong in this life. You know, there are those that can go out hunting and they know all the different footprints, right? There's even books with all the different prints that you can look at. And, you know, you can tell this is a bobcat, this is a coyote, this is a deer, this is a... You know, they just look like dents in the dirt to me. But there are people that can track deer, they can track other types of animals through the woods, and because they recognize the prints, they recognize what this print is. If they're looking for a deer, they're not following a bobcat print or a coyote print, they're following a deer print. Because they know the prints of what they're looking to follow. And folks, today, we as children of God need to recognize the footprints of Jesus Christ. Because I can tell you which path He traveled. And we need to follow those prints, for they are on that path. That narrow path, that difficult path. Because He walked it. He walked it in His life upon this earth. And He made the hard choices to be what God wanted Him to be. As we look down the two paths before us, there are prints in the soil on both paths. And the question is, whose prints are they? Can we tell which prints belong to someone that we want to follow? Because see, one path, the prints on that path are footprints that look greedy. They look hateful. They're untrustworthy. Prints. They're sinful. They're unhappy. They're unsatisfied footprints. They're lustful. Prints on the other path, though, the path that Jesus' prints are on, are footprints that are loving, controlled, at peace, joyful, satisfied, sacrificial, and trustworthy. You know, if you're a parent, or maybe you can remember doing it as a child. I can remember doing it as a child, but I've also seen my children do it as well. You're walking in sand or some kind of, you know, along a shoreline somewhere, and your child will try to step in your footprints. They'll try, you know, they'll literally have to at times leap from one to the other. But they want to walk right inside your prints. They want to think that they can take those steps and be right where you were walking all along the way. And that's how we need to be with Jesus Christ. The footprints of Jesus show us how to live. And each print is a step we need to make in order to become more like Him. And we need to be, if it takes a leap, we need to make a leap to go from one step to the next, that we may always walk in the path that He laid out for us. Those footprints are a map, a pattern. A pattern of how to be a faithful child of God. The Bible is filled with such patterns that God required in order for man to please Him. Folks, if you hear preachers today, and there are some out there that say the Bible does not have a pattern, they haven't read their Bible. Or they just don't care what it says. God has left for us a pattern for us to follow in this life. In Exodus chapter 25 and verse 9, God told Moses, "According to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it." That "just so" there means you do it just like I said it, right? You don't add something to that or leave something off of that. You do it just so. If you're a parent and you're telling your child how to do something, you want them to do it just so, you expect them to do it just like you say, right? You do it just so. This same statement is repeated in Exodus 25 and 40, later in the chapter, where He once again admonishes Moses to build the tabernacle exactly like He says it. Then it is repeated in Numbers chapter 8 and verse 4. It is also referred to in Acts chapter 7, in verse 44, by Stephen before he was martyred, where he stated, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of testimony in the wilderness, just as He who spoke to Moses directed him to make it according to the pattern which he had seen." And again, the writer of Hebrews quotes this statement again in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. Why would the Holy Spirit repeat something so many times in the Bible? One event, one statement by God. The point of the repetition is to show that God expects what He says to be done exactly as He says it. When God speaks, it is a pattern for us to follow, just like God's instructions for building the tabernacle were given to Moses and were to be done just so. God has spoken to us and given us a pattern that we are to follow and we are to do just so. Still today, when Stephen spoke those words, he was making a point to the Jews regarding how their fathers had disregarded God's pattern for them, just as they were doing at that very moment that he was speaking, by rejecting Jesus Christ. When the writer of Hebrews spoke those words, he refers to the statement by God. He says it was a warning that God warned Moses about that. That warning still applies to us, that we do what God says. We follow His pattern. If you want to, as the writer of Hebrews continues to state in the next verse, be a part of the more excellent ministry. If you want to be a part of the better covenant and the better promises of Christianity, you will do it just so as God says. You will make those choices. Our pattern from God's Word shows us how to build our lives upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we sing the song, "The Wise Man and the Foolish Man," but we need to remember what the solid rock was. That was those that heard and obeyed. See, God's words are a pattern to be obeyed in our lives. And that is building on the rock, the firm foundation that will never go away, of Jesus Christ. There are three aspects of the decision process that will lead us down the right path of the divergent roads of choice before us. And I want us to look at these three things very quickly. First, you have to make a choice. A lot of people don't like to make choices. But you have to make a choice. You cannot just stand before a choice and not make a decision. Now, there are many choices in this life that not making a decision probably doesn't matter too much. You know, if you're standing at the refrigerator and you're going, do I want to drink milk or orange juice? If you can't decide and you leave and you drink coffee, that's probably all right. It ain't going to matter. All right? There are some choices that do not matter in this life. However, no choice, we need to understand, is a choice, isn't it? There is no such thing as not making a choice. You make a choice no matter what. If you do nothing, that is a choice that you make. It's rarely ever the right one. And I can promise you, when we're dealing in spiritual matters, not making a choice is always the wrong one. Because Christianity is about choosing right, not choosing. It's about choosing right. It is not something that is passive in the choice department. It is something that is always active, choosing a particular direction, the direction of Jesus Christ and God. And so, not making a choice just doesn't work in this situation. We have to choose something in our lives. No matter how complex the problem, or how great the weakness may be in our lives, the key to dealing with it will always be making a choice. And it may be a hard choice. But that will always be the key. That will always be the way through. It's to make the right choice. People want it to be more. But really, problems come down to just that. In 20 years of preaching, I've never seen a problem that didn't come down to the solution being the person that was having the problem making the right choice. We have to make it. We stand and we make those choices every day. Jesus made a choice in the Garden of Gethsemane to go to the cross and die. Stephen made a choice to preach to a hostile, murderous audience. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have a list of people who made a choice of faith. By faith, Abel chose to offer a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Noah chose to build an ark. Noah could have said, no, God, that's a big boat. I just don't have time to build it. How many times do we have something similar? God tells us what we need to do, and we go, I ain't got time this week. I'm busy. Work's kind of hectic. What if Noah had said, God, I tell you, Mrs. Noah, she's got me doing a lot of things. I can't get around to it. If I can, I'll get back with you. No, he chose to build the ark. He could have said no. Wouldn't have been smart. By faith, Abraham chose to leave home and go to where God had told him. Listen to verses 24 through 26, because this actually says those exact words. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing. Rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. The difference in all these individuals in Hebrews chapter 11, these great individuals of faith, was they made a choice based on that faith. And it was the choice that made the difference. These people in Hebrews 11 stood at the fork in the road and they chose God. The difference between right and wrong is always a choice. A path we go down willingly. So we have to make a choice. That brings us to number two. Second, you must have the conviction to make the hard choices and follow through on them. Many people refuse to make the hard choice. They don't have the conviction. They don't have the strength. They don't have the willingness to make the hard call and do what is right at times. It is said that rivers and people are crooked because they take the path of least resistance, right? That's why rivers don't run straight. And you won't run your life straight toward Christ either if you're taking the path of least resistance, because you're going to be called to make hard choices. We must make them. The choices that I listed from Hebrews were all hard and they required great conviction. Think about Moses, the one we read just a moment ago, that he gave up the riches of the most... Egypt was the most wealthy and powerful nation of that day, and he gave up being in the palace to go and suffer with the slaves and to suffer with those people. You read your Bibles, you know how those people were. They were ornery, weren't they? My wife says they're almost as ornery as me. Not quite. There were. I'm trying to get back to them though. You know, it took conviction for Moses to make that decision. The choices that really make a difference in our lives are the ones that will require that we give all of our lives and all of our strength and all of our ability and all of our mind to seeing that choice through. Those are the decisions, those are the choices that will make the difference in our lives. All those little nothing choices we make on a daily basis of whether we're going to drink coffee or orange, they don't matter for nothing. But the ones that matter are going to be hard. They're the ones that's going to make our lives better. And if we're not willing to make them, our lives are going to be a mess as a result of our unwillingness. Jesus showed us this conviction with His choice in the garden to die. And there was more than just a choice, though, there to die. There was the conviction in Jesus Christ to carry out that choice. Because He said, not my will, but Thy will be done. And He was going to the cross. But Jesus, just think about all the conviction it took for Jesus to keep with that choice all the way till 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon when He said, it is finished. It took conviction. That was a hard call. That's a hard choice. What if you had to make such a choice? What would you choose? And then last of all, we've got to make a choice. We're going to need conviction to see through the hard choices. But let me tell you, the last one is pretty much obvious. Make the right choice. Right? I mean, I know you're going, Nathan, that's a given. Yes, I know it is a given. But I still feel like we need to think about it and say it. Make the right choice. Think about what you're doing. Think about the choice you're making. Choices are one thing. The right choice is everything. It will make everything better. Jesus spoke of the two ways, right and wrong. The narrow leads to life, and that's right. And the broad way leads to destruction, that's wrong. Acts chapter 5 shows us Ananias and Sapphira, and they had a choice to make. They made the wrong choice. Oh, it appeared to everybody there at the, whoever was there present the day that they brought the money, it appeared like they were making a great choice, right? They're bringing money from what they had sold and giving it, laying it at the apostles' feet. That looked like a great choice. But God, who sees the heart and knows the truth in all things, knew that it was the wrong choice because they lied. They chose to lie. They wanted the praise of men. I think a lot of the young prophet who was called by God to go from Judah to Israel, the northern kingdom, to talk to Jeroboam, right? And he was told, when you go, you do not return the same way you came. You do not eat with anybody while you're in the land. Eat or drink with anybody in the land, right? Those were what God told him to do. And so the young prophet, he made the right choice on the way there. He went, he didn't eat with anybody. He told Jeroboam just what he needed to tell Jeroboam, gave him the sign of the altar there in Bethel. But on his way back, and he was still making the right choices. He was going back a different way. He was not going to eat with anybody. And an old prophet that was still living in Israel, and there's a question as to why he was still living there, most had left at this point, sent word to him that God had spoken to him and told him to come eat with him, right? And the young prophet made a bad choice, didn't he? He listened to a man instead of to the voice of God. If God had told him not to eat with anybody, God would have rescinded the order personally, I think, don't you? And he went and he ate with the man, and we know the story, right? He was riding his donkey, and the lion came and knocked him off and killed him. And the old prophet had to bury him. But the point being in that story is that in our lives, we face a continuous flow of choices, just like the young prophet did. There was choice after choice after choice he made, and he made all the right choices, but then he made the bad one. That's why choices are so important. Because all of the right choices came to an end when he chose poorly, when he chose wrong. And we must be dedicated to making the right choice in every situation that comes our way. We're going to fail from time to time, but we need to give our very best effort to doing what is right. Always. Jesus lived on this earth to show us the right choices in this life. You know, he didn't just come. And I hope that you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I think they're so wonderful. I mean, we're looking at the life of Jesus Christ. How did he live the life? Oh, we think we're so smart and we know how to handle this life. We know how to live this life. And yet all have sinned and come short of the glory of God except him. He looks like he knows better than we do. Let me tell you what, I wish I'd only sinned once, right? And learned from it. I'm not that good, not that smart. Jesus Christ never sinned. He has shown us how to make right choices. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, "For you have been called for this purpose." What purpose, Peter? "Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously." Folks, it comes down to, what is the reason why we make the choices we make? To be successful here in this physical life, or to lay up treasures in heaven? That's going to make all the difference in making the right and the wrong choice. Where are we focused? Are we focused on trusting ourselves to the one who judges righteously? This series of sermons throughout this year will examine the attributes we find in Christ, those steps that He's taking on that path. We're going to look at different steps. We'll examine the attributes we find in Christ that have been left so that we might follow those steps. The lessons will deal with bearing fruit. We will deal with true love, prayer, servanthood, conviction, compassion, endurance, an eternal focus, working hard, combating temptations, and having self-control in our lives. It is my hope that we will come to know Jesus better in these lessons, but also that we will become more like Him as we grow up into those very attributes that He had. The end of the poem that we read earlier said, "I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood. And I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." My friends, the road you choose today will make all the difference. It can make all the difference for your eternal destiny. Will you choose the narrow road, the one, as the poem says, "I chose the one less traveled"? Will you choose the one less traveled, the narrow one, the difficult one, the hard one, the one that calls you to have conviction? Or will you take the wide one that anybody could go down? That's easy, lazy, and you will have nothing good at the end of it except destruction. You know, in Judgment Day, one day, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. May you be able to say in judgment, "I chose the road less traveled. That made all the difference." This morning, if that's not the road you've chosen, if you've been on the broad way, Christ calls you to the narrow path. And you stand at a fork. Two roads are diverging in your life right now at this moment. And you have a choice to make. Will you get off and go on to the narrow path? Or will you stay on the road that leads to destruction? This morning, if you want to get onto the narrow path of Jesus Christ, the path that leads to eternal life, come believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be buried in baptism, having your sins washed away, and to rise to walk that narrow path. As difficult as it may be at times, you'll be glad when you reach the end. Because the end of that path is worth all the difficulty of it. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you've forgotten which path you're supposed to be on. You want to come back. Repent of your sins. Confess those sins to God, and He is faithful and just to forgive you. If we can assist you in any way, if we can encourage you, if we can strengthen you, we want to do that at this time. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing?